Ever since Armstrong, Aldrin and Collins went to the moon, those familiar words, a giant leap for mankind, with its iconic footage, continues to inspire many. With hours and hours of audio from the mission, like you've been hearing, available to the public.
12 men in total have walked on the moon, with return missions running until 1972. 12 men in total have walked on the moon, with return missions running until 1972. Now, both national and private agencies want to return to the moon, but it'll rely on collaborations across the world. So, when are we going back? And will it involve humans, or should we leave the work to robots? Izzy spoke with James Carpenter, who works on human and robotic exploration at the European Space Agency.
So the International Space Station has shown us what is possible when the nations of the world unite and come together to achieve incredible and impossible things. And I think that the moon is the next place where we can do that, where we as a species can go and learn what it means to go beyond Earth and learn lessons that we can apply here on Earth to improve the situation here.
How are people planning to return to the moon?
The United States, through NASA, is preparing something called Orion. And Orion is a spacecraft which will carry humans beyond low Earth orbit, where the space station is, where we operate today, and out into deep space for the first time since Apollo. And the European Space Agency is very much involved in this program. We're providing something called the European Service Module, which is at the back of the crewed part of that vehicle, and it carries things like the propulsion systems, the power systems, and some life support systems. And so that vehicle will go to something called the Gateway. The Gateway is a crew-tended platform, kind of a space station comes spaceship or spaceport, which sits in deep space in the vicinity of the moon. And it's from here that humans will go down to the lunar surface and return from the lunar surface for the first time. And this is something which is being explored by a group of countries through the International Space Station Partnership to work together to achieve this. And we're looking at our different roles in this scenario now.
And so will it act as a base station for people to, you know, pop off, grab some supplies and go elsewhere?
The Gateway's first function as a staging point will be to access the lunar surface and come back from the lunar surface. But the great advantage of Gateway's location is that it sits nice and high in the gravity well. So unlike from Earth, where we need a lot of energy to get away from the gravitational pull of the Earth, once you're at the Gateway, it becomes a staging point from which we could go on to other places in the solar system. So one could envisage a future where we have vehicles being assembled around the Gateway using materials brought from Earth and maybe even the moon, perhaps filled with propellants that have been created at the lunar surface using ice and other things found at the poles of the moon, and then going on from there to Mars. So the Gateway becomes a really important element in potential future architectures for the moon, but also to more distant destinations. And exactly what that will look like, I think we can work out once we've nailed the lunar return. In the US now, there is a very strong drive to return humans to the lunar surface by 2024. And we would be looking to understand how ESA can play a role in an international lunar exploration scenario, which is sustainable and has a really long-term plan.
Is there a place for humans in that? Or are we just leaving it to robotics because we don't have that risk of, you know, things go wrong with us? We are human.
So space robotics have come on a long way, and there are tremendous things that we can do with robots. Robots, however, cannot substitute entirely for humans. So if we look at the science that was performed at the lunar surface 50 years ago on Apollo, what was possible in just a few days with two humans at the lunar surface is way beyond what would be possible with any robot available today. In a much, much longer time. There is no substitute for having a well-trained human in situ at the surface of the moon or any other planet doing science. That said, there is a role for both humans and robots. So there are some things that humans are really good at and robots are really bad at. And there are some things that robots are really good at that you don't need humans to do. And so the challenge for us, and the exciting thing, I think, for everybody is to try and find that balance between what humans can do best and what robots can do best, and trying to get the best of both worlds and to create a real partnership between human and robotic capabilities.
It might be early days, but do we know what those humans might be doing when they do return to the lunar surface?
Definitely. So we know a lot about the moon, but there is a huge number of science questions to be addressed. I think the future of the moon is likely to look somewhat like Antarctica today. So humans now go to Antarctica to perform scientific research, make measurements, travel across the surface of the Earth in Antarctica, taking samples. And I think something like this will be what we see at the lunar surface too. They'll also be preparing for future exploration, so testing technologies and preparing the way in that sense too. One very important theme of lunar exploration in the coming decade or two is going to be establishing the use of local resources for space. So one thing that's become apparent is if we want to explore the solar system in a permanent and sustainable way, then we need to learn how to use the resources that we find where we find them. And the moon is the place where we will learn for the first time how to use resources that are available in space to meet our needs. So one example of that could be the ice at the poles of the moon. So if we can learn how to purify it and then to use it both for life support systems, drinking water and air, but also to split it into oxygen and hydrogen, which could become propellant, then this is a capability that will be enabling for us moving out into the solar system and can also make accessing and using the moon sustainable in the long term. But we also need to do this in a way which is in of itself sustainable. So through learning how to do this, we are always pushed to the maximum efficiency and minimum waste. That is the nature of the way we engineer for space. And so in doing so, we can also learn some really important lessons about resource management here on Earth and how we can manage our own resources in a more responsible and sustainable way.